Lord, we pray tonight that you'd help us to break the bread of life, help us to feed the flock of God. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen our souls and our spirits. And, Lord, just enable us, God, to avoid the snares of the devil. Lord, I've been snared enough times already, and God, I pray that you'd help me to not fall into his traps. God, we just need divine enlightenment tonight. We pray that you'd shine the truth on us tonight. Help us to see things as they really are, not as they may seem to be. And God, I pray that it all redound to the glory of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to this morning about decoys and camouflage. You know, it's so important if you're hunting to be camouflaged. I mean, the danger has to look innocent. And when Satan is ensnaring you and I, he has got to make it look good. He's got to make it look good. He's got to make it look like it's not going to be hurt, no damage done there. And that's what happens. We talked about the snare of religion this morning. And hopefully, I pray and hope in this church there's not a lot of snares of religion. I hope people are free in Christ, that you're trusting only in Jesus Christ, that you're not snared by false doctrines and so forth that would enslave you in sin and keep you from freedom. I want you to go to Judges chapter 8. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures tonight, kind of do a Bible study, actually. Let's go to Judges chapter 8 and look at a passage of scripture here. And this thing of being snared, entrapped. Judges chapter 8, verse 27. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a-whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Now, what's an ephod? It's part of the priest's garment. And what he took was, listen, he took a legitimate religious fixture and used it. See, they wouldn't have never got snared by it had it not been a legitimate thing out of the tabernacle and the priesthood. It was something that was legitimately scripturally connected. I want to give you just something. We had a baptism service this afternoon. How many people in this world are snared by infant baptism? The pastor I was with this week, and boy, I tell you, you're talking about some really sweet people and just a blessing. But the Lutheran pastor in the town came to see him and said he wanted to have fellowship with him. He said, I just think a lot of you. I said, I think you're a nice young man. And just like, you know, we're both ministers here in town, I'd like to have fellowship with you. And he said, well, I'd love to have fellowship with you too. But he said, I've got to tell you this, fellowship has to be based on truth, has to be based on scriptural doctrine that's right. And he said, and I don't want to, you know, be a fool, be deceptive or anything. And he said, you know, you're a Lutheran and I assume that you believe Lutheran doctrine. And he said, why, sure. And he said, well, you know, so he got talking about this infant baptism thing. And, you know, and he began to take him through the scriptures. And you know what that Lutheran pastor said? He said, if what you're saying is true, I'm not saved. Yeah, he didn't admit that. He didn't say he wasn't saved. He said, if what you're saying is true, I'm not saved. And not only that, he said, if what you're saying is true, I'm leading my flock to hell. And so, and he asked that he, you know, we need to pray for him that they'll be able to articulate him the truth of God's word. To see, fellowship comes on truth. Now, the lady here this morning, and pray for her. She talked to me before, after church. She said, you know, I've never been immersed in baptism. She said, I was sprinkled when I was a child in the Lutheran church. And she said, you know, I got saved, but I haven't been baptized since I got saved. And she wanted to know if that would keep her from going to heaven. I said, you know, not being baptized won't keep from going to heaven. You can be, being saved is saved. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb. But I said, if you would refuse to be baptized, it would be a sure sign to me that you had no sincerity at all about your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible commands it. It would be an act of disobedience to Jesus. First act of obedience is, but just think about how many people in the world right now are snared through infant baptism. And in fact, the Lutheran preacher told this pastor, he said, I was, he asked if he had been born again. He said, yes, I was born again by water and by the Spirit. He said, when they sprinkled that water on me, I was baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, that's what they tell him. And they take John 3, and I mean, they know just how to. If you've ever had to deal with them, you know how they, you say, man, how can they get that? But if you're told that, made to believe that, it's just what you believe. So there's a lot of snares of religion. Here's a situation where there was an ephod and it became a snare. Now, how many knows what happened to the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness? God used that as a very legitimate thing in the life of the nation of Israel. But there came a time when they began to worship that brazen serpent on the pole, and God had them grind it in powder, get rid of it. And you can get snared in tradition. You can get, this is the way we've always done it around here. Well, that's fine if it's scriptural and it's according to Bible, but it's not according to Bible, you ought to throw it out. You know, I'm not saying, but you got to be careful that things that can ensnare you. Let's go to Psalms chapter 106, verse number 36. Psalms 106, verse 36. Talking about being ensnared tonight. Psalms 106, verse 36. Verse 35, again, this is just kind of reiterating what we did this morning. Verse 35 says, but we're mingled among the heathen. And by the way, every Christian ought to study what Psalms 106 and 105. It's a study of it's a condensed history of the children of Israel. And I'm telling you, everything they experienced, God said these things are written for our learning that we might through patience and come to the scriptures have hope. Now it said they mingled among the heathen. Now let me just stop here tonight. What does it mean that he said, you know what? They messed up and they started mingling among the heathen. They got an unequal yoke. They started, you know, trade back and forth. And then first thing you know, it was this. And the next thing it was this. And next thing they were doing that. And the next thing you know, what? Why? Some old boy saw one of the Israelite girls and said, boy, she's pretty. And the Israelite guy saw the heathen girl and said, boy, she's pretty. And next thing you know, they were mingled among the heathen. Now look at verse number, and learned their works. Look what verse 36, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Let me tell you something. It's really, really hard to marry somebody and not get snared by their religion. Yeah. You're going to be affected by their spiritual beliefs. And it is very, very critical. This situation, really need to train your kids. You do not marry outside the Christian faith, and you do not marry someone who's not a committed Christian. You do not know what they believe before that you marry them. Talk about doctrine. Because these are the things that's going to be tough. I mean, there was a lady there this week, and her husband, a pastor told me, he said, Reggie, he's a nice guy, but he said, I'm telling you what, he gives her what for about going to church. You don't want to spend your life all that way. And don't be mingled. That's part of the things that will snare you. And the trouble about it is, what really gets tough is that a lady can take his church all her life. And that boy get 15, 16, 17-year-old, and he decides, hey, you know what, Dad said this wasn't manly stuff, I ain't going. And it just sets it up for a horrible, horrible mess. And people wonder what's wrong. And then we talked about the snare of false philosophies, atheism, humanism, intellectualism. And that all really basically in its final deals is pride. And we looked at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 5 on that. We talked about the snares of worldly pleasure. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse number 21. And we'll look at a situation here where that worldly pleasure became a snare. And, learning to guard yourself against this type of snare is very critical. Verse number 21. And, let's get hit verse 20. Michael, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him to her that she may be a what? Maybe a snare unto him. He said, I'll trap David up with my own daughter. I'm telling you something. When I tell you that the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, you better pay attention to what I'm telling you, and you better check out what are people's motives and why are they doing what they're doing. I'm going to tell you this. Why? You ever hear of marrying for money? Karen thought she was, but she got a shock. Amen. But, a lot of things are not like they are. Somebody said the honeymoon got over and really found out who I married. And if you're not careful, you got snared in situations. Be careful about being snared into things that are just not right. Go to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23. You talk about a snare. Young men, I want you to, every young boy ought to get the, all men, not just the boys. All of us men ought to know these verses and be very acquainted with them. This is probably one of the most powerful snares in the world. One of the most powerful snares in the world. Let's back up to, if you know the story there in chapter 7, it's the story of a young man void of understanding. And God says that in the first few verses, he's talking about that his God's word, God's commandments and so forth will keep you in verse number 5 from the strange woman. Now, I'm just feeding the flock tonight. I don't have just a bang, bang, bang message to preach tonight. I want to do some things. Proverbs chapter 7 is particularly about a young man who is void of understanding, who doesn't, know the Lord. He doesn't walk with God. And even if he knows the Lord, he's irreverent to it, and he wants to follow his passions. And it's a story of a young man who's led astray and ensnared by a woman, an immoral woman. You read the story. And the woman tells him the husband's gone. Hey, he's not coming back to a point of time. Come in and so forth. But also chapter 7, always in the Bible, the strange woman is also a type of a false religion. The church is the bride of Christ. And in Revelation, the Bible speaks that there will be a church who's the whore of Revelation. All right? And she is an imitation of the real thing. Now, chapter 7, so it has two applications here. One's the straight-up deal about this young man getting taken in by this woman. I'm taking that back because I said to start with the snare of religion. It is very, very real. There are multitudes and multitudes of people who are snared by false religion. And this woman, the way this woman works, and the way she operates, is the way false religions operate and the way they work. So you ought to really get a hold of it. But anyway, just to get to the snare part, in verse number 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Now think about that one. How does an ox go to slaughter? Just walks right in. I never will forget, as a boy, one of the most impressive things on my brain as a little boy, Dad, who was the guy who used to be a butcher, lived out here west of town? Big old tall boy and had the hand that was all... Francis Williams. We had a big old Holstein steer. We'd been fattening up. We'd been feeding him grain for, I don't know how many months. And this one of my little chores was to go in and feed the steer. We knew you can't go feed a steer every morning for 6 or 7 months without kind of thinking he's a pretty good old boy, and patting him on the head. And one day Francis Williams showed up, and I knew Francis Williams was a butcher. And that didn't look good to me. But, there wasn't much I could do about it. And if I'd have got hungry enough, I'd have been glad he was there. But anyway, I never will forget. He took a little bucket of grain, kind of stuck it under the nose of that big old Holstein steer, let him under, that old steer just followed him just like this. He let him right underneath a great big old beam, set the bucket down. The steer sat there eating. He took a 22 by and went, and that steer just... Down he went, and he just strung him up and butchered him. And we had hamburger the rest of the winter. But anyway, that's the picture. Literally walking in like an ox to the slaughter, thinking everything is just fine. Isn't this a nice old boy? He's going to feed me. Isn't this a nice young lady? And to the correction of the stock, look at verse 23. Till a dart strike through his liver. I don't know if you know what that means or not. That's a death blow. You've had it. As a bird hasteth to the what? Snare. And knoweth not that it is for his life. Now, I'm telling you, the Bible said many strong men have been slain by her. You look at that in verse 26, verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And again, there's two things that you want to avoid snares here. One is the religious false religion. Second is be very, very careful about women. Now, I'm going to say something about this thing of why would that be such a powerful snare? Because, I'm going to tell you something, whether you want to admit this or not, the second most potent force in your life outside of living itself is your physical drives. All right, that's the second most powerful force that you have. And I'm telling you what, and God has designed perimeters within which that, physical intimacy is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Within the bounds of holy matrimony. Outside the bounds of holy matrimony, it is rot. It is destruction. And Satan knows where your greatest... Even he told Job, he said over in Job, yea, all skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. That's why this health care thing is a big issue. That's why people are getting... Why didn't people get raised? They're more worried about health care than they are abortion in America. Why? Because it's talking about my health. And your health is talking about your life. And yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Now, as I said, the second most powerful force in your life, as far as God's design, is the flesh. As far as reproductive. And I'm telling you something, if you don't let the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God get a hold of that, it can take you down. And the way He'll do it is, He'll take that which is God-given, by the way, it's God-given, and I don't think as Christians we ought to act like it's not, because it's not true. There's nothing wrong with a man desiring a woman and a woman desiring a man within the holy bounds of matrimony. There is nothing wrong with it. All right? Outside the bounds of holy matrimony, it will kill you. Just straight up. Once, eventually it'll get you. And so Satan takes that great force, that God-given force, takes it away from its design and ensnares us with it. So you got to, I mean, I'm telling you, you've got to get a hold of that one. Well, there's a snare of riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 9. Talked about that this morning a little bit. Riches are a real snare. Verse number 9 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, for which while some coveted after they've erred from the faith." Does anybody know what's behind all the health care bill, really? Money. There's more money spent on health care than there's anything, and it's just who's jockeying for the money. That's the whole issue. And those that are socialistically minded and who believe that all wealth ought to be in the hands of the government want all that money that the doctors and hospitals are making in the government coffers. And they want the doctors and the nurses to be little puppets that they pay a pittance to. And let me tell you, when that happens, you'll quit seeing bright young men and bright young women training for the doctors and nurses jobs. And they'll say, "Hey, I'm not going to be dominated and controlled and paid nothing for having gone to school 8 or 10, 12 years to learn how to be a blessing to people." And I'm not saying all doctors are blessing, but I'm saying this much to you, that that I'll guarantee you one thing, you get bad enough shape, you won't mind seeing somebody that can help you. You know, and I'm just saying that there ought to be a good heart. But I'm saying this, it's about money. Now listen, there's a snare in money. And what the devil will do, he'll lay out a deal out there, and it looks like you're going to make big money fast. But there's something not right about it. The Bible says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye." And what you want to know, money, it can be a snare to you. I mean, it can literally, I've seen money snare people from about going to church. They needed that job, so that money snared them, trapped them, and it kept them from being in church. There's all kinds of ways that money snare you. I'll open it up now. Does anybody think of ways that money snares you? It says, "They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare." How about that advertisement come on and that four-wheeler was going up and over them logs and down and stuff. But you know what? You couldn't even pay the legitimate bills you had. But you got it in your head, "I got to have a four-wheeler." And then you saw at the end of that ad, zero down, no payments for 6 months. And you said, the devil come up and stood on your shoulder and said, "You know what? You've worked hard and life's going by quick and you deserve a four-wheeler." So you go down and you get the four-wheeler. In 6 months, if somebody says, "You want to make life go by fast, just make a 6-month due note." And it goes by quick. And the next thing you know, it's payment time, and you can't even pay the legitimate bills that you have. Now you're trying to pay off a four-wheeler, and by the way, by now it doesn't run. And if you did get it to where it runs, it's going to take $385 for that little part. And you're what? You're snared. You're in bondage. And it's going on all of, going back to the... See, here's the problem in America right now. If you really, really touch on subjects, you really, really preach on stuff, I mean, man, people get upset with you. But I'm going to tell you something. The banking business has become one of the greatest snaring enterprises going on. And you know why we're in the economic mess we're in? Because people were snared by coveting something they could not afford. And that you go in here and the first thing you know, that they made it where you could get 103%, 105% loans, 0% down. All you got to do is start making the payments. And then all of a sudden there's taxes and there's insurance and there's unexpected bills. And next thing you know, you're just in a trap. And he snares. And I've been there. So I know what I'm talking about tonight. I've been there. I'm not sitting here looking down my nose at people. I'm saying I've been there. I know this is true. God said love money. And I've also seen deals where, boy, I thought, man, that deal make money. And it didn't. I bought a house one time down toward West Plains, and I thought, there ain't no way in the world that thing make money, Mary. I thought, boy, that thing got to make money. I lost $10,000 on it. But I got out of the trap. Took me hit and went on down the road. Now, I bought some land and made money on it. But I'll tell you what, if you ain't careful, you'll make a little, and you'll think, boy, I'll make a bunch. And the next thing you know, bam, it's got you. And so you'll be careful about it. Money will snare you. Riches will snare you. There's the snare of comparison. The Bible says, comparing yourselves among yourselves, you're not wise. And if you start comparing yourself among each other, it'll just snare you. All your mind will get concentrated on what other people have and what you don't have. And the Bible says, having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. I want you to look at, let's go to, we've looked at this compromise, and we talked about the snare of death this morning, the snare of business. Let's go to, I want to talk about how to be delivered. Let's go to Psalms again, Psalms chapter 91. You know, it's one thing to talk about snares. How do you get delivered out of a snare? Because the Bible does talk about that God delivers us and that we can be delivered out of the snare of the fowler. And in Psalms chapter 91, verse number 3. Let's back up verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. You want to avoid getting snared, stay under the shadow of the Almighty. What's that mean? If you're under the shadow of the Almighty, you know where you are? You're pretty close. What's that mean? It means stay under the protection of the wisdom of God's Word. Don't violate. What has to happen to that coyote for him to just override all of his instincts? I'll tell you what's more fun than Barrel of Monkeys is watching videos, coyote hunting videos. It's crazy because for it to work, that coyote has to just keep going past violations of his own instincts. He just keeps, there's something telling him, how many's ever hunted a buck? And you could tell that buck knew something was up, but he kept smelling that scent. And by the way, on the subject, what kind of scent do you draw a buck in with? Doe scent. You might learn something there, boys. That's right. Draw in. He'd go past the instincts. You got to get him to disregard. And this is what the abiding under the shadow of the Almighty means, that you will not violate what God says to do, no matter how good it looks. If there's something wrong with it, there's something wrong with it. And if there's something hidden, there's hidden. How does a swindler get you to bite? You know what I did a sale one time for a lady? I mean, this is so sad. This lady had... Her daughter told me, said, Reggie, my mother was never rich, but said she had, daddy, he passed away, and they had a pretty good, nest egg laid back, and he had prepared for her. And she said, she got to taking these phone calls, these people selling her all this really El Cheapo stuff. And when I did that auction, literally, it was table after table of skillets that big. I mean, I'm talking about these little things, and they claim they're selling you this stuff, and when you order it, it comes out, it's junk. It's pure junk. Now, here's the deal. Have you got your credit card ready? Yep. Have your credit card ready. Have your credit card ready. Yeah. And they call you up, and they tell you, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to get this. How many's ever seen the ad, here's a Zimbo exercise rubber band stretcher? And they got these beautiful people out there, and they're showing you what it'll do for you and everything, and all of a sudden it comes up on the screen, only $39.99, flash, 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 flash. And this says, but if you order now, you get two for the unbelievable price of $19.99 if you order in the next 30 minutes. I'm wondering about the other side of the United States that the time zone hasn't changed yet, And the whole idea is to get you to move right now and get that credit card out, and boom, they got you. I mean, you've got that stuff. I sell that junk for 25 and 50 cents all the time. It ain't worth nothing after you buy it, and most people never use it. Too much work, amen. But anyway, verse number 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Look at verse 3. Now here's the essence of it, the result of it. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the what? The fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, on His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy buckler. In other words, He said, if you stay close to God, you won't get in these snares. You won't get in these traps. That's what He's saying. You stay close to God, God will keep you out of them traps. You get in a trap, it's a sure sign you weren't walking close to God, and I don't care what it looked like on the outside. Amen? Now, Again, going back to old Mr. Wile E. Coyote. You know, there was one cartoon I remember growing up I really liked. What was the one, the coyote and the roadrunner? Oh, man. I tell you what, I like seeing that coyote get it. He'd always run off the side of the cliff and but what does a coyote use to stay out of trouble? Nose, eyes, and ears. Think about that. You've got to get past all those God-given blocks to fool that thing. And I'm going to tell you this much. If you think for a minute that Satan won't throw you all kinds of decoys and things to get you to cast down your caution, drop your guard, and walk straight in, you've lost your mind. He means business. He does have a 243 aimed at your brain. I'm going to tell you something. This is better preaching for preachers than it is for folks in the pew. Because let me tell you something, folks. There are dozens and dozens of preachers getting knocked out every week in this nation by a snare of the devil. You got snared in it. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Verse number 110. Verse 110. Psalms 119. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. He said, you know, the wicked lay a trap for me, but he said, because I stayed by the precepts of God, they didn't get me. Is that simple enough? That's plain enough, ain't it? That's plain enough. Go to Psalms chapter 124 and verse number 7. We're talking about being delivered out of the snare. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. I've got a rhema written down beside my Bible right there. I got into a snare one time and I wrote down the day God gave me that verse and I started praying about that verse. And did you know I've got it written down in my Bible and God answered that prayer and God delivered me out of the snare. And there's nothing wrong with you. Let me tell you something. Don't get down on yourself if you've been ensnared so bad as it is if you're not willing to seek the Lord and get out of it. But you know what God will do? God will leave enough scars on you to where you ain't never going to want to get into it again. You know, I hate to say here, sit here tonight, I'll be honest with you. God's got me out of snares pretty easy the first time. I didn't get enough scars. I piddled around 6, 7, 8 years later, went back into a snare. God says, well, I believe I'll leave you in there a little longer this time, Reggie. You ain't got the brains of a bat. I mean, that's just exactly how God operates. I mean, He loves us, but He's long-suffering, and He doesn't want us to have to be ensnared any longer. But I tell you, if you look at Psalms 140, verse number 5. Psalms 140, verse number 5. The proud have hit a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They've set gins for me. You know what God wants you to understand? There are people out there who want to take everything you own away from you. I'm honest with you. There are people who just literally leave you squirming with your guts and blood in the ditch and laugh about it as they walk off. And if you think there's not, you do not know life. And they've got things laid out for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, can I say to you, I literally believe that the stock market, by and large, is a snare for unsuspecting people. Let me tell you something. If I put $10,000 stock market to a bunch of guys I don't know nothing about, and there's been a lot more money lost in the stock market than's been made in the stock market, and your odds are not very good out here. And you have no power, no control over what they're doing with your money, do you? I'm just saying, I personally think a lot of it is nothing but gins and snares. You know what they've been known to do? In fact, of it is, if you know history, if you really searched out history, you know what Joseph Kennedy said? He said, this is so easy, it ought to be against the law. You know what their practice was? They would start a little company and they would start buying, they would have people buying the stock and making the stock go up. Well, everybody got to noticing. There's a company out here, man, the stock's going up. Oh yeah, boy, that thing's big. It's going to really do something. You better get in on it. You better get in while it's still small, while it's still cheap. And people would come in, the minnows, see, would come in and the minnows would buy, you know, stock. And boy, and the more they bought, the more it went up, the more it went up. Well, here's these big guys and they kept, you know, big blocks of stock. And so they get up here and it's all peeking out and then they decide to settle it out. And here's all the little fish left there with. And he made the statement. Joseph King made the statement. Said, this is so simple, it ought to be against the law. And then you know what FDR did? When they restructured the Wall Street, not the crash and stuff, and FDR got in, he put Joseph Kennedy in charge of Wall Street. And a lot of people don't know that. That's like putting the fox in the chicken house. And if you think that still doesn't go on up there, they're just slicker at it. Anyway, 142, verse number 3. Oh, mercy. Chapter 142, verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. What's that mean? That means that secretly and privately, without me seeing it, they laid a snare in my path. Hey, what happened to David, guys? What happened to David? The devil laid a snare on the rooftop of the house one night for him, and it got him. Did you know the honest truth about it is David never, the rest of his life, really ever escaped? Never was the free man that he was again. And it got him. Well, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 20 and show you something here in Proverbs chapter 20. We're looking at the subject of being snared. Now listen to me. There's a verse in the Bible. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In the multitude of counselors, there's what? What does that mean? That means that you need to get some advice before you buy some things. Now, that's not what that verse... We're going to get to what that verse says in a little bit, but just think of it. The Bible said in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Do you know why we won't go to our parents and ask our mom and dad a lot of times or our grandpas what they think about us doing thus and thus? Pride and rebellion, because we almost know intuitively they're not going to be for this because we know them. And we don't want to have to deal with them telling us, well, you know, I don't think that's really a good idea. And I wouldn't do that if I was you. And our pride and our rebellion got us. We didn't want the safety of counselors. And you say, Reggie, what about my mom, daddy, in here, whatever? You know what I'd do if I was a young man here? I'd just go to some of these older men. I'd lay out the situation. This is what I'm thinking about doing. Here's how it really is. And don't hide stuff from them that you know would make a difference. And say, listen, I need some counsel. What would you do? They say, well, okay, it looks pretty good. I'd go ahead. If they say, hey, I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't do it. Don't be afraid to take some counsel from people that's been down the road. Good land of living, that's the awfulest waste that ever was, is not taking counsel. So let's look at this verse here, chapter 20 in verse number 25. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy. Now, this verse is never hardly ever preached on, but y'all look at it pretty good. And after vows to make inquiry. Now, you know what that verse is talking about is sacrilege. Devouring that which is holy. You would not believe how many ministers are snared into the ministry because somebody called them but God, or because they had this little old kind of, they did not make their calling and election sure, or because they thought the ministry was a good way to make a living without working. And they got snared, devour that which is holy. And so what they do is they live off of people without actually being called of God and ministering to people. And it's just, and they pull money in through religious, it's devouring that which is holy. Actually, if you want to talk about that, Eli's sons did that. They took the best meat. You know, they just fleeced the people. It's kind of like, you know, the mass, paying a priest to say mass and all that junk and, you know, twisting people's arms to give. You know, they have televangelists. They're devouring that which is holy. I honestly believe that televangelists have done more damage to the Christian faith than any one institution in the United States. Because these lost guys sit there and they know that's a pile of junk. I want to tell you something. You didn't have to be saved to know that Jimmy Baker was a joke. And by the way, Jimmy Baker's right back at it. Right down here at Branson. Now, I don't have anything in for Jimmy Baker, but he's right back. He didn't learn a thing. You know, but that became a snare to him. And what did it do to him? Got him. It gets him. Now, the second thing here is, not only those that devour that which is holy get snared, but after vows to make inquiry. Now, vow has to do with covenants. In other words, you made a marriage vow, and then you made your inquiry about who you married. too late. He's saying there, if you want to do any checking out, you do it before you make your vows. And what he's saying here is this, make your inquiry before you make your vows, or you can get ensnared by not checking things out before you make your vows. Make sense? All righty. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 5 and 6. This is a big one. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. The Bible says flattery worketh ruin. Now I'm going to tell you there's a big difference between legitimate praise or legitimate gratefulness and flattery. You want to really, really watch out for flattery. It worketh ruin. What is flattery? It is verbal accolades with bad motives. You're praising that person and talking nice about that person to get that person. You think there's something you can get out of that person by talking nice. Now, let's put this in a practical sense. Oh, sweetheart, you're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. You're so sweet. Some boy's flattering you. What's he doing? He's laying a net for your feet. Well, say, but yeah, he really means it. Well, if he really means it, then if he really means he loves you, then he's willing to wait for marriage. But if he's flattering you to get you to sell off your purity, to give away your purity, he's spreading a net for your feet. It's just that simple. Is that a little too tough for everybody tonight, or is that all right? That's okay. That's exactly right. And another thing, flatter you about money. Man, people flatter you if they think they can get money back out of you. You ever heard about Jesus preaching about devouring widows' houses? That's going on 90 miles an hour. I mean, hey, don't say the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't you ever estimate. There have been plenty of preachers figured that world out. I hate to tell you this, but there's preachers who'll stand in the pulpit, and when the guy dies, he's going to figure out how he can get the money he left out of that widow, and he'll do it by flattery. And he'll do it by babying her around. And then someday the subject comes up, well, what are you going to do with your estate? It's quiet in here now. Let's just be honest. You and I ought not do that, amen? We ought not be nice to a widow because we might think she might remember us in her will. That's rotten. Amen? If we're going to be nice to a widow, let's do it in Jesus' name and forget it if we never get a dime out of it. But I'm telling you the truth. People will just ply that stuff and work that stuff up, you know, and it's junk. Anyway, a little too quiet. I must have hit pay dirt or something in here. I don't know. The Bible says, the man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Verse number 6, in the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Amen. Look at verse number 20, chapter 29, verse 25. Boy, here's a big one. Here is a big one. Now this is where it hits the preacher. Here we go. Verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a what? But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Oh, here's another way to be delivered. Now, how in the world does the fear of man bring us the snare?
You don't say what you need to say when you should say it.
You're afraid of what people's going to say. And preachers get snared by fear of man. I mean, I never will forget, and I started preaching. I'd go out and preach revivals, and I'd get to preaching about, this was the favorite one. This was one that would really get their blood vessels popping. I'd preach on their daughters out. Naked as a pom-pom girl at the ball games and them being a deacon of the church. And I said, you know what you've done for years? You put $20 in the hand of your preacher so he'd keep his mouth shut about it too. Woo! And what happens is the preacher gets scared of losing a family or losing somebody. They'll walk out of the church so he don't preach on that. Then he gets afraid of it, and you get about 7 or 8 years of this, and pretty soon you've got these little nice canned tuna messages that are just as bland as they can be, and they're not going to offend nobody in the entire world, and they're going to be about generalities, but no specifics about anything. You know why? Because he's snared. He's trapped. He's snared. He's caught. He's a trapped preacher because he's afraid of men. You know what God told Jeremiah? Don't you be afraid of their faces. Why in the world would God tell a preacher that? Because he said they're going to look at you mean sometimes when you're preaching. And the best thing you can do is I'll say this tonight. I'll say this publicly. You dads, you know what would be good if you did? Is to, you know, if it ever comes up in your family discussions, if God ever should call you to preach, son, whatever you do, the first thing you need to get settled is your allegiance to Jesus Christ, and don't be afraid of nobody. Or you'll be ashamed of him in years to come as you see him playing dodgeball from the pulpit. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, it's not just in the pulpit. It can be in your life. You can be afraid to take a stand on the job. And you're snared by it because you're afraid of what people will say or do, or maybe afraid of losing your job, or afraid of not getting the promotion, or whatever it may be. It can snare you. It's a fear of man. You know, isn't it a liberating thing that God does not want us to be afraid of men? And by the way, that's what makes free people, is we're not afraid of people. We're not afraid of people. And let me say to you, American people should not be afraid to face their leaders when they're wrong. We need to have a good spirit. We need to have a good attitude. But we don't need to let the fear of man bring in the snare. And may I say to you, really, really blew my gasket. And that's why I am so opposed to this administration, you can't imagine. I don't hate anybody. I am so opposed to them. But the number three man in the Justice Department is the man who threw the Black Panther intimidation case out of the court system. And I'm going to tell you something. They've got photos of those thugs with sticks in their hands at the voting booths up here in these cities, threatening people if they didn't vote for Obama. I'll tell you, that's a good way to start a war. And you let them thugs come down here and start that, and there'll be a quick fight, and it'll be over with. And I'll tell you, that's wrong. But intimidation is a method of fear, causing people to fear and putting a snare. And I'll tell you something else about our country that needs to be addressed, is that the mafiac attitude in these cities where people have to pay to get bribes to the mayors and to the powers that be to get a contract. They tell me you cannot get a contract in these cities without bribing off the officials. That's sorry, low down and worthless, stinking, nasty, unfree filth. And I'm telling you what, nobody ought to have to do that in America. And if I was president, I caught anybody making anybody give a bribe, they'd go straight to the pen if I could get them there. I'd throw everything I could throw at them on the books. Because that's a whole deal is to create a fear in people that they're not. Here's what they love to do. They love to catch some old boy who's got equipment and employees and he's having a hard time, and they ought to give him the job, but he gets the job if you give me an under table cut, or if you don't, we're going to see to it that we're going to orchestrate your failure and your bankruptcy. And they put the fear of man in. And I just simply believe, you know what I'm really saddens me is that I'm almost convinced that American men have just so been so cowed down that they've just started, this is the way it operates, man. This is the way you got to do it. Let me tell you something. That's what they do in the Philippines. That's what they do in Mexico. But that ought not be the way they do it in America. We ought not have the fear of man. We ought not let people bribe us out and cow us down and all that junk. Don't be afraid of people. It's nonsense. But anyway, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And I just want to go again in this thing about the ministry. You cannot be afraid of people. That doesn't mean you got to be some mean hog and dog and alligator. But you just can't be afraid of people. And by the way, that's what snares us from witnessing, isn't it? Isn't that what snares us from giving a tract to somebody this week? The fear of man. We're afraid of what somebody's going to say or afraid of what somebody's going to think. And we ought not be. Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 12, just flip on over a few pages there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 12. There's a verse I want to look at here. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Wow. What a verse for our time. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if we don't stand right now against this wave, we're going to be snared in our time. We're going to be trapped. Listen, let me tell you what's really going on. You ever heard the phrase seizing the moment? Seizing the moment. I literally believe, just what little I've listened to, that the liberals and the socialists, believe if they're ever going to get it, they've got to get it now. And they're trying to seize the moment. My prayer is that God will orchestrate their failure and that they'll far overreach and the American people will react. But they're trying to seize the moment at this time. You know, American people are being snared as they've departed from the Bible and God's Word. They've lost their wisdom. If you lost your wisdom, you don't have to stay out of a trap. Government programs and promises and the government flattery. And that's spreading the net for people. Let me give you one of the greatest snares in American country right now. The educational system. They're literally ensnaring the American families. Mom and Dad, you go off to work, you do your thing, but you give us your kids. And we will raise up a generation of liberals and socialists and people who don't even know their own history. And we're being snared in the area of education. Don't be snared in by education. We're being snared by giveaway programs. Being snared by giveaway programs. Government programs, government promises. The thing is, if this government health care deal works, it'll be work because the American people were ensnared by the promises of free health care and not having it, thinking it won't cost them nothing. And that's what they're banking on is, you know, a people that, first of all, don't want to trust in God. Second of all, people that want everything provided for them and this false promises. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 21. I'll try to get done here. But just hope tonight that this will be an encouragement to you to watch out for what's going on in your life, both locally and personally and family-wise and so forth. Chapter 29, verse 21. Bible said, that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate and turneth aside the just for a thing of naught. And that's what's happening in this country right now, too. If you stand up for what's right in the gate, in other words, in the public place, they're laying a snare that reproveth in the gate, and so they want to turn aside for a thing of naught. And so go to Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah chapter 48. Verse 43 and 44. Fear and the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall in the pit, and he that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare, for I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. You know, there's a principle about snares in the Bible. God says, you can't escape me. You oppose me, you go against me, you think you can outfox me, God says, I'll nail you. And that's what that verse is about. He told Israel, you're not going to escape me. He said, you'll jump here and you'll jump there, but he said, I'll always be ahead of you. I'll get you. Isn't that true about our own life? God says that he's going to. Now, I want to go to 1 Timothy in finishing up here and just a little bit. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. God talks about the minister, the preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7. The Bible said, talking about the qualifications for preaching, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach. And there's that phrase again, snare of the devil. Snare of the devil. God says preachers need to have a good report of them which are out. Now, God said they may speak evil of you, but it better not be true. In fact, Jesus very clearly taught, you will be spoken against. You just need to make sure it's not true. If it was true, you better make sure that you went and made it right. Okay? And so these things are qualifications in that. Now, I hope you'll indulge me just a little bit here. Proverbs chapter 13, and we'll go back and hit two or three verses, and we're gone. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 14. Proverbs 13, verse number 14. The Bible said the law of the wise, we're talking about being delivered from the snare of the fowler, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Look at chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. There's two verses. God says, listen, you pay attention to my word, you pay attention to me, and I will be your deliverer. I will deliver you out of the snare and out of the snare. And finally, let's go to Jeremiah, and I promise you this is the last verse. Jeremiah chapter 5 tonight. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 25, 26, and 27. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins are withholding good things from you. Woo. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch who? Men. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of what? Therefore, they've been great and waxen rich. I want to finish up by saying one of the greatest snare operations I know going on right now is writing, copywriting, printing, and selling new Bibles. It's one of the greatest snare situations going on. I'm talking about Bibles that are not the Word of God. Do you ever realize, do you notice what it said there? Because their cage is full of birds, their house is full of deceit, therefore they become great and waxen rich. How would you like to be able to sell a brand new Bible to 16 million or 35 million people? At about 35 bucks a lick. Have you thought about how much money that is? If you can get all the preachers snared into thinking, well, this old book, and they're snared in, and that whole snare process, now they're snared into a book that's not even the Word of God. Now they don't have the truth, and they're in a mess. You know what? I don't want you people getting snared. And I know I've kind of bounced through this thing and jumped over the rocks and stuff like this. But, you know, I want you to think about this thing. There's things out there that can get you in trouble. All the way from relationships to monetary things to spiritual things. There's snares. And I think it becomes us as a church, and surely I would as a pastor, to encourage you to stay out of the snares that the devil lays for your life.